You're listening to Run Hard, Mom Hard, presented by Treeline Journal and hosted by Nikki Parnell
and Steph Weniger. We're here looking at the ins and outs of what it takes to be a mother who runs ultra marathons.
We'll dive into the challenges mothers face while training and racing ultras as we share and hear stories of motherhood and life from the trails.
We hope to be a resource and encouragement to women who are balancing life with kids and all the miles. It's no easy task. We know what goes on behind the scenes while a mom prepares for a long run or race day. Sick kids, lack of sleep, low energy, minimal time, mom guilt, etc.
But women keep showing up again and again to run, take care of themselves, and show this sport new levels of strength and grit. We want to be here to celebrate and inspire each other to run hard, find our inner mom strength, and show our kids that so much is possible.
Welcome to another episode of Run Hard, Mom Hard. Nikki, how is your week going?
It is going all right. Yep. It's good. It's good. We still don't have our car back, which is just a little challenging. I was thinking about this yesterday. It keeps life interesting, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it keeps it a little slower paced, you know? It's like we were excited about coming to Idaho, being in a cabin, kind of slowing down for the summer. So really, I just need to like re-embrace that, message I kept telling myself. And yeah, we'll get it eventually when it's fixed. Right now it's still in Boise at the shop, but it's fine. And, yeah, we did like, we've been doing, hot tubs every day with the kids. It is so nice. And I feel so spoiled even saying that. I don't usually have a hot tub, but it's so fun. And just, seeing like Dash's swimming progress so much. And even Bellin, I mean, she's under the water more than she's not.
Yeah.
And, so it's fun. And we're just having a good time spending our days going to archaeological dig sites, aka little holes in the ground where Dash is. His days just digging, and he's got like some tools in a toolkit that my dad made him. And he draws little pictures of the artifacts that he finds.
Cute.
And yeah, it's great. He wears his goggles and has a hammer and a chisel. And
such a little scientist.
I know.
It's, oh my gosh.
Really fun. This morning he woke up and he came down the stairs and he had drawn pictures of different bird feet, like tracks, like duck.
Oh, yeah.
Tracks, and then woodpecker tracks, which are very different because, well, nobody can see, but they look like an X, you know?
Yeah.
Which I actually didn't even remember. And he just had remembered that from a tracks and scats book that we have. So anyway. That's my life.
He's so smart. Both your kids are just so adorable. I love following you on Instagram and pictures and obviously with the podcast. But
I love my little buddies.
They're so cute.
They're great.
Yeah.
What about you, Steph? What's going on?
Well, I went to the doctor yesterday about my knee. And because it's still – so when I flipped over on the kayak, I hit a rock. And it's still like – I've been running on it, but like light running. It's been slow and I'll walk. And it doesn't hurt when I'm just running, but if I bend it or I sit with my knees, like my legs crossed when I'm sitting on a chair and I can't do that. I have to have my legs straight out when I'm washing the kids in the tub because I can't kneel on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got an x-ray and he just said it's a bad bone bruise. So that's good that it's not like anything damaged. He did say though that my, the spacing between my kneecaps and my bones is great. And then also that I have tight knees. And he said, you are just built to be a runner. And I'm like, well, that's good.
Oh, great. You're like, great. Cause yeah. I'm going to be doing it for my whole life.
Yeah. He said most women's knees are really loose. So that's why they get knee problems.
Oh,
but mine were not. So
hey, there you go.
Here. Yeah. Otherwise just been hanging out, cooking comfort food because it's been cold here. Not cold, it's been cool. And taking care of the kids because Aaron's still, he's back to working his 70, 80 hours a week. So,
ugh, that's a lot.
Yeah. I'm hoping that he doesn't want harvest to come soon, but I hope it does so that he can slow down a little.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job, Mama. Yeah. For keeping everybody afloat.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, today on the podcast, we have Elisa Laverty. But before that, we told you last week that we got our first sponsor, Exoskin, which is a company that makes seamless running gear with rapid dry copper technology.
Yes, we're excited to be working with them, and their products are 100% made in the U.S. We have both tried their 4.0 mid-compression, mid-rise shorts toe socks, which we've really, really enjoyed. They're truly very comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
They are supportive, but they're not restrictive.
They don't ride up. They help with chafing and blisters and hot spots and odor, which is really nice. Some really incredible athletes have been using their gear for long endurance events, like John Kelly's FKT on the Pennine Way. He wore the same pair of socks the entire way, which was 268 miles. He never took them off, and he still had no issues with his feet.
I know.
It's insane.
That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing indeed. Yeah. Yeah. So if you head over to exoskin.us, you can shop around, check out their apparel. You can use the code TREELINE for 20% off at checkout.
And by supporting Exoskin, who supports us, you are also supporting Run Hard, Mom Hard, and it means so much to us. So please go to exoskin.us and use code TREELINE for 20% off at checkout.
Today we have Elisa Laverty, who recently just got the FKT, fastest known time, on the Grand Loop in Olympic National Park. She ran this 43-mile loop that has a little over 13,000 feet of elevation gain in 11 hours and 15 minutes, mm-hmm. which was not too far off of her husband's time, who ran it the day before, Keith Laverty. We were following both of these guys as they did these FKT attempts. My husband Chase wrote about it for Treeline Journal, and it was just really exciting to see a husband and wife both going after something big together in a short amount of time. You just don't see that happening a lot.
Yeah, she talks about the challenges with that because there was some chaos the night before hers, but it was also taking care of her husband. Her child. She has a 3.5-year-old, Luke, that she talks about. And we hear some of her highs and lows and her background story, which is really interesting and, very inspiring, especially postpartum.
Yes. She is a very inspiring runner and mother and climber and biker and yoga instructor almost.
All the things.
And baker. Yeah. She does a lot and she has such a good, really refreshing perspective on all of this. So give it a listen.
Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. How are both of you?
We're good. We're good. So excited to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Of course. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what you do, what's going on in your life?
Sure, yeah. Well, I guess maybe I'll give a little bit of like pre-COVID because it's like that was like kind of the normal, you know, and obviously things have changed since then. But I guess up until about March, I was working at a really, really wonderful little restaurant here on Bainbridge Island called Good Egg. I worked front of house. I was cooking, baking. And then I was also working at our local climbing gym as a club team, like youth club team coach and working at the front desk. And then I was also doing a little bit of just private run coaching for a few friends as well. along with momming and, you know, training. So
all the things.
Yeah, all the things. So post COVID, you know, I've had a lot more free time. But yeah, I've not been working because the restaurant unfortunately went out of business, and then the climbing gym, they haven't been able to bring back the staff just because we didn't get approved to phase three. And so yeah, I've just been getting out and riding and running and hanging out with my kiddo and getting away for a few little trips with my partner Keith. So yeah, that's kind of what's been going on.
How old is your kid?
Luke is 3.5 years old. So very busy, energetic.
Yeah. He is adorable.
Oh, thank you so much.
His smile, it just warms your heart. It's so cute.
I was looking at your Instagram page, and his dancing with the toast was the cutest video ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like kind of having a little bit of a rough morning, and I just took him out in the morning for like a few hours just so Keith could kind of focus on getting some work done. And, I said, Luke, you should do a little dance. And so he just, and I quickly got my phone out just in case it was like super cute. And of course it was. And he just like busted out the best moves ever. And it was just so precious and innocent. And, you know, I keep telling people that it's just like, I don't know what I would do without him right now. You know, just his innocence and joy and perspective. You know, he's probably able to tap into some of what's going on right now, but not to the level that we are intaking all of this information and overstimulation. And, so just, it's really refreshing to have him around and to be able to go do things with him and just kind of forget about everything else for a little while, you know, like whenever we're out focusing on like taking him to like the pump track to go on his Strider bike or going for a little walk at a local trail system or something. And just, yeah, just kicking back with him and taking in the world as he sees it.
Yeah. Which is a lot more magical. And then,
yes,
especially with all the anxiety and stress. And I mean, and how both of your jobs got hit so hard, which I'm so sorry to hear about. How have you like mentally handled this new transition and like having more free time? And is that weird? And have you coached more since then? Or, you know, how are you mentally?
You know, that is a really excellent question. I feel like, you know, kind of at the beginning of all of the transitions of everything, I was, so not working, I was focusing more on the running. And then I was getting a little bit into cycling. Like, I got a gravel bike and was going on some cool rides, like kind of out on forest roads and with a lot of, elevation gain and stuff like that. So, when I was focusing more on the running, I found that I was getting a little too sucked into like going after things like Strava segments. Like, and I kind of, honestly, I burned myself out kind of like mid spring, like early summer time frame. And so I just kind of had to take a step back from running and decided to focus more on just the riding. And so yeah, it was definitely challenging when the restaurant went out of business, because honestly, it was one of the most wonderful places I've ever worked in my life. Like my bosses, Lena and Alice, like they set such a high standard for a workplace and for just management. And so, yeah, that was really tough dealing with that. And just trying to figure out what's next, you know? So, and along with you had asked about the coaching, like if I coached more, I felt like I needed to take a step back from that as well. Like everything just kind of worked out so that those coaching relationships just kind of, faded out very nicely. And it worked out perfectly because I felt like since I was having a tough time in my own running, it felt really challenging to be able to motivate the few people that I was coaching. And so, yeah, it just made sense that I take a step back from that for a little bit, but I still really enjoy doing it. You know, it's, the people I've worked with have been amazing, very, dedicated and passionate. So, yeah, definitely something I would pick back up again in the future.
Yeah. There's different seasons for things, you know?
Totally.
I mean, if anything we've learned from this year is like kind of honoring that, you know, the changes and the being flexible with.
Yeah.
Being adaptable. I think just being able to kind of go from one. I mean, we're a very adaptable species. You know, we just kind of like get hit with something and we figure out new ways to make things work. And so that's been a resounding theme this year for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's good that you knew that you needed a mental break from things as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you were able to listen to yourself and to your body enough that you're like, okay, I'm going to take a step back for a little bit and recharge, basically.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on what's next now that it's been a little while, or you don't have to share either if you...
Oh, well, honestly, I'm still figuring it out. I just, something that's kind of a resounding theme for me is that I have my eggs in many different baskets. And so, at the beginning of the year, I had started a yoga teacher training and it kind of got a little bit more prolonged just because of COVID and everything. And I'm just going to be honest, I've been procrastinating about wrapping up last minute homework things. And so I just need to finish it and get my certification. And honestly, I've been struggling with that as well, just because I don't just want to teach yoga over Zoom or online. You know, I could definitely see myself providing content, like not a full size yoga class online, but shorter flows, like things geared more towards athletes, kind of like what Athletes for Yoga does, of doing like short flows and resets, as they like to call them. So those have been great. And so I feel more drawn towards doing something like that, because I really don't know what the future holds for being a yoga instructor at this point in time. So that's kind of where I'm at with like just trying to figure out what's next for work and
and we're all trying to figure that kind of stuff out. I'm wondering how you kind of got yourself back into running, coming off of having a downturn with it, but then you obviously got back into it because we will talk soon about, this amazing FKT you just did. So you get it back.
Yeah. So, you know, I have been a runner for about 7 years, maybe a little bit more. I guess I can tell you a little bit about how I got started with running. I started running when I was like 16, and honestly, it's funny looking back to how differently I thought about running and what it did for me. And I'm sure maybe other people can relate to this, but I was 16, horrible body image, and I just wanted to lose a little bit of weight. And I was just like, and it's just so funny. It's like, I totally don't think about running that way anymore. And so, you know, I went through a little bit of a rough time, like around 17, 18 years old. I kind of had a little bit of an eating disorder. And as I worked through that and started to run more, after I moved out, I was like 18 and a half or so. And, right before turning 19, I was at a race. I had done my first race when I was 18. And then, I just kind of caught the bug and was like wanting to sign up for all the races. And so I remember I was doing this little 10K road race. I'm in a very small town nearby, and, I met who is now my best friend, Rob, and he's the one who got me into ultra running and just being out in the mountains. He took me for some of my very first mountain runs out in the Olympics. And I was just so intrigued by the idea of running. I just couldn't wrap my mind around running 100 miles and just all of the big ultras that he's conquered. And I was just so inspired. And I realized that if I wanted to be able to run more, I needed to be eating more and to fuel my body adequately to be able to go on these adventures. So my relationship with food and running has like shifted quite drastically. And I've been working in food service since I was 16 or 17. So, and I really have a passion for it. I love baking and cooking, and that's something that was cultivated growing up at home, helping my mom cook and bake for all my siblings. I'm actually the oldest of 12 kids.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like mini mom. So I helped do a lot of that stuff at home. So it just really kind of developed this passion for it. And it's something I'm still very passionate about now. So that's kind of how I got started in running. So, I realize that my identity has become pretty rooted in being a runner. Mm-hmm. And so I struggled with that a little bit, like earlier in the year, just with trying to like, I just needed to take a break because I'd kind of burned myself out. So getting back into it, you know, I didn't put any pressure on myself to go out and run. You know, I honestly felt way more motivation to go out and run in the mountains whenever I felt like it, or if I had the opportunity to do it, but I didn't feel motivated at all to just go out my front door and run. Yeah. And I was finding much more fulfillment and honestly, someone told me I found my new zen with cycling. So, it felt so good to just hop on my bike and go ride for a few hours. Like that felt so mentally so much easier than going for like a 30, 40 minute run. So, honestly, over the summer, I put in a lot of volume on the bike and not a ton of running. So, and that felt good, you know? So I was just doing what felt good to me. And
yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of how I got back. Well, I'm kind of getting back into the running was after taking some time off from it, you know, and just allowing myself to just run when I felt like it. Mm-hmm. I then probably about a month into like barely running, I found myself missing. I was like, oh, I really miss running. Like I want to be running more. And I was like, oh, I found it. I got it back. And you know, I think everybody is different. You know, it depends on like, I think there are many factors to that, but just for me personally, you know, it just took maybe a month and a half of just dialing it back, doing something else that really made me feel good and happy. And then I found myself, because I love running, and I've always told myself, or not always told myself, but I more recently have been telling Keith that I believe that my path to longevity in running is going to be through just diversifying my sports, just finding other things that I really enjoy doing so that I can be a lifelong runner. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I love that.
Me too.
That's so healthy and so okay.
It is. We get so wrapped up in like running, and I mean, it does so much for us, like just the chemical reaction that hot runner's high, and just, it just feels good. And then when you don't have it, then it's really, really tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's probably just so good to be like, wow, well, I do really miss it and I love it. And then that just gives you more passion to enjoy it again. And
yeah. Yeah.
It really, we do this for fun, so mm-hmm. It should be fun.
Yeah, 100%.
And so when did you do your first ultra?
So it's really funny. In July, let's see, my birthday's in July, and I'm like blanking on the year. I could totally just do math. But right before I turned 20 years old, I went out to the Olympics, and I had told myself, I want to say that I became an ultra runner while I was still a teenager. So silly. And so I went out and there's this one trail called the Duckabush Trail. And I was just, it's a very long river valley trail, and it just goes basically right into the heart of the Olympics. And so I was just planning on doing an out and back, and you know, I was like 15 in, 15 out, no problem. And I think I got 9 or 10 miles in, and there was a bear in the middle of the trail. And I remember I just like froze, and I was like, okay, well, this is interesting. I was like pretty minimal on mountain running, trail running experience at this point. And I should have known that if I just made a lot of noise, it would have gone away and it would have been fine. Mm-hmm. I like to comfort myself now with the fact that there have never been any attacks on humans by black bears in Olympic National Park. So it's just funny. Good. So I was just like, hard no, I'm turning around. So I turned around, got back to my car, and I was like, I really want to like wrap this up. I really want to do an ultra today. So I went and found another trail to go run on and did an out and back, and it was, I was such a mess. I remember I was crying and it was getting dark and I had the phone, the light on my phone, and it was just
kind of, you didn't even have a headlamp.
I didn't bring a headlamp with me. I didn't think it would take me that long, but it kind of did. So yeah, that was my first ultra.
That's funny.
That is awesome.
Oh, good man. Memory.
Such an adventure.
It was, yeah. It was quite the adventure. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
And we had just seen a black bear, but we were driving out of the park, the state park that we were at. And I'm like, thank God I didn't see that on the road when I was running, because they freak me out. I know most of the time they'll just run away.
But yeah, yeah. There's just something about it. It's like, oh, it's a bear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, so then how did that grow into, like, then you went on to do races and things, and mm-hmm. How did that happen?
Well, so I met Keith not too long after I turned 20, and so I'll just give a quick story on how we met. We met on Instagram, and my friend Rob had been telling me about the Gorge Waterfalls 50K put on by Rain Shadow Running. And I loved the idea of doing a 50K. I hadn't yet done a 50K race, or like an ultra. And so I was thinking that would be amazing to make that my first race. So I think what I had been doing was like looking up hashtags for the race. And I think that's how I stumbled upon Keith's Instagram profile, because he had just won that race a little bit earlier in the year. And that was actually coincidentally his first ultra. So,
oh, awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, meeting Keith really, inspired me to take my running a little more seriously. So, and you know, doing more, you know, I was going to a lot of races with him after we met, and you know, we got engaged and then married pretty quickly after we met. Like we met in early August. We got engaged in like end of November, and this is like 2016, and then we got married in February of 2017. So it was just like really quick, really quick. So, but it felt right. Like it just, everything felt really good with him, and it still feels really good with him.
That's good.
So yeah, that's kind of how I got more serious about my running. It was just, you know, it felt natural to kind of progress as a runner being with him. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then when did you have Luke?
Let's see. 2018. Yes.
Okay.
January 2nd of 2018.
Oh, very new in 2018.
Yeah. Yeah. And almost a New Year's baby.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Were you guys planning on having kids early?
You know, it's funny. So growing up, you know, it's just like, oh, you know, you get married, you know, you always hear is like, you get married, you start having kids. And then like, you know, we do that. And then after the fact, I'm kind of like, you know, we probably could have waited a little bit. But honestly, you know, Luke has changed our lives in the best way possible. You know, he's been such a light, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we had talked about it for sure, and we both definitely wanted kids. I know I've always wanted kids. So, yeah, that's how Luke came to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And how did your running change since having him?
You know, I think what has happened, you know, I feel like some of my best race performances have definitely been after having Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has been in part to just having more experience at this point in time. But also when you have a kid and you have races that you want to do and goals that you want to achieve, for me personally, I just wanted to make time for it. I wanted to reach those goals. I've always been kind of a dreamer and wanting to get to a higher level in like whatever it is that I'm doing, you know, and, yeah, I definitely remember. So Keith was working full time in Seattle at that time. So he's working full time from home right now as a private running coach. Okay. And I definitely remember I was just going to see how my recovery went from giving birth. And, you know, I was able to run for a lot of the pregnancy, but there were definitely like a handful of months where running just didn't feel good at all. So I was riding my bike a little bit and just walking and basically going into the pregnancy, I had told myself, if I can just be active for 30 minutes a day, I don't care what it is that I'm doing, then I'm going to consider that a win. So, you know, had like a couple of races in the back of my head that I wanted to do postpartum, but I just tried to keep it real with myself and realize, you know, A, I might not be able to run for throughout my entire pregnancy. B, I have no idea how the birth is going to go and what my recovery is going to look like after that. So I just tried to put things in perspective and not beat myself up about it. And, you know, just trying to set like low expectations so that I wouldn't just disappoint myself or get like overwhelmed by all of that later on. So fortunately, like, after I had Luke, the recovery was, I mean, the birth went really well. I couldn't have been luckier, I guess, to have such a smooth delivery. And so yeah, I didn't run for a couple of weeks after having Luke. And then when I started running after having Luke, you know, the first handful of runs were just like super slow jog, being in amazement, like, oh my gosh, like there's not a little human inside of me now, just like being in awe, you know, at being able to run and not feel all this bouncing, you know, and so just like run, walk, you know, and then just like really carefully, gradually just kind of building back up. Because it's just, I just really, the major key is just was listening to my body and not doing more than what felt right. Or I don't know. Really is so individual. And, I don't think I could recommend to any one person, you know, to do this or that, because it seriously is so individual. So just for me personally, I just played it by ear and, was able to build up to surprise, like even looking at it now, looking back now, I'm just like, I was like crazy. What was I thinking? So it's just, but I just was just listening to my body and just doing what felt good. And, I ran Gorge Waterfalls 50K. It was actually happened to be the last one that they had before all the fires that went through the gorge. So I feel so lucky that I was able to run it, but I did that at 3.5 months postpartum, I think.
Oh, wow.
And it actually ended up going really well. I got sixth place there, and I couldn't believe it. I was just like, but you know, to keep it real, I was like peeing my pants most of that race, you know, it's just, and I was like, what is wrong with me? Why is this happening? And you know, only when until after.
Yeah. Huh? You know, like, oh, you yeah. know your body's going to do that. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Continue. So it's just, yeah. So after the fact, you know, I wish that I would have been advised to get better postpartum care. Like what the heck, guys? Like seriously. Yeah. Why was I not recommended to go see a pelvic floor specialist and all of that, like right after, like the things I would do differently now, if I had another kid that I wish I would have done after, right after having Luke, number one would be going and seeing a pelvic floor specialist and starting on trying to like strengthen that. So that's just one thing, but you know,
We have talked about that so much on this podcast that we don't understand why it's not like a commonplace thing.
I had
for
no idea.
You to get care.
Nobody,
like that.
I didn't know. So I'm like so transparent, open about, and like passionate about talking about this subject, because it's like, there are so many other women that it's just not it's just not on our radar. Like, why?
I know.
Infuriating, honestly.
No should, one shares it.
To
it
go
should be.
Pelvic floor PT. Like, at least a couple visits. I mean, because totally. It's just how you're engaging your core. Mm-hmm. There's so many small little exercises that you can do to control some of this, but it's like, hello. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's mandatory other places in the world. Or like that's it's a amazing. Common practice, but not in the U.S.
Yeah. It's so interesting.
Yeah. And so, okay. So you ran the 50K and then what race came after that?
So yeah, kind of my big goal post baby was to run a 50 miler. And so then, 7 months postpartum, I ran a freaking 50 miler.
Oh my gosh.
It was such a long day, such a long day. So, you know, with these goals that I had, I definitely was prioritizing running. Like Keith was training for races, you know, 2018 and honestly, yeah, 2018 was just such a big year for us. I can't believe, like we were just talking about this the other day. Like we look back and we can't believe how many races and runs we did. Mm-hmm. After we had Luke, we just really found, and honestly, I have to say, disclaimer, huge thanks to like Keith's parents and my parents for helping watch Luke. Like with so many younger siblings at home, for me, like Luke has had the best aunts and uncles to look after him, and he absolutely loves going over to their house. And so, you know, because they live on the Olympic Peninsula, it's just really easy to drop him off. And then mm-hmm. for Keith and I to go out and do our mountain runs. And then when Keith's parents were living over on the east side over in Issaquah, you know, we could drop Luke off there and then go off into like the Cascades and go do mountain runs there. So it really was, we just feel extremely fortunate that we've had supportive family on both sides that have helped us. So it's like, we really couldn't do it without them. And then other friends that have helped babysit Luke so I could go out and get in, you know, a run or something from home. And then, you know, temporarily we had a treadmill. And so it's just, we found ways to make it work and just have so much communication around, okay, I want to do my run. You need to do your run. Like, let's figure out how to best schedule this. You know, I'll get out super early in the morning, or you go out in the morning, or you go after work, or just, you know, just the logistics of and communication of planning. So both of us can be training, because Keith is a high performing athlete and I aspire and I'm working my way to being a high performing athlete as well. And so, it's just a lot of logistics and planning. So that's been the only way we could get all of our training in. And so. Yeah, it was a lot working up to White River, and, you know, I probably would do things differently in training, but, you know, it's all in hindsight. It was my first 50 miler. I didn't know really what I was doing, but it was a long day. I ran just like within the 12 hour range or something. And, I definitely didn't feel super happy with that race. It took a lot out of me emotionally and physically. You know, I was like thinking about my baby all day and just wishing I could be with him. And it was really great that Keith brought him to different, aid stations so I could see him. And that was really awesome. But I honestly, up until recently, just didn't have like a desire to go out and do something big like that.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes a lot. And honestly, and I was just talking with a friend about this yesterday, but I'm so young still, and one of my dear friends, Kirsten, she actually just did an attempt of the Wonderland Trail, and I went out and paced her, and she's like, she's so incredible. She's a mom. She's got two kids. You know, she's such a huge inspiration for me, and she's like encouraging me and telling me, you know, your best running years are ahead of you.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'm really trying so hard not to get caught up in like all the things I could be doing now and just thinking long term, Elisa, think long term, like, you know, and so that's kind of partially been a little bit of my decision in not rushing into doing 1 to 2 50 milers or 100K or 100 miles. You know I want to run 100 miles, but I honestly, I don't think I've really noticed, and I could be totally wrong, but as far as I can see, I have not seen a lot of women that did a lot of bigger ultras in their younger, like in their 20s, and are still running at a really high performance level in their 30s and 40s. And so I feel like it's just a delicate balance of,
yeah,
you know, trying to figure out what works best for you and what you want to do long term. And I know I want to be crushing it in my 40s, you know?
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. Women peak is in their 30s and 40s.
Yeah. Yeah. So just knowing how much doing these longer ultras takes out of me, just for myself personally, I'd rather not burn myself out on the longer distances while I'm younger. I know they'll still be there and I can still enjoy running, you know, those distances every once in a while I'm younger, just as it feels right, you know?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And I think that's good to like have that voice. Like you don't have to be doing that right now. Mm-hmm.
There's so much FOMO on social media. You see everybody going out like, oh, everybody's doing all these really cool races or incredibly epic mountain runs. And, you know, I can do it too, but, you know, I want to be smart about doing it, like how I do it. And, you know, so.
Well, and I think when you wait for a certain amount of fire to like build inside of you,
totally,
then you'll
totally,
and you can tackle it and it's going to be a good experience, mm-hmm. Instead of draining.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Okay. I totally agree with that.
Well, so you're still doing pretty epic things because you just did an FKT. You got an FKT.
Yeah.
Can you tell us which one it was?
So the FKT is called the Grand Loop. It's a 43-mile loop out in the Olympics, out in Olympic National Park. It starts at Deer Park and finishes at Deer Park. And it has 13, maybe a little bit more than 13,000 feet of elevation gain.
Wow.
Yes.
And it's, so that's very epic.
It's, good time. Yeah. Thank you.
That's like, on the same page as like, UTMB type elevation per mile kind of, that's very big, very big. And it's 43-mile loop, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what made you choose that one? Just because you've been running there a lot or?
Well, you know, I grew up, on the peninsula, on the Olympic Peninsula. And so, you know, I've always grown up seeing those mountains every day. And even from where I live now over on Bainbridge Island, I can still see those mountains every day. So they definitely hold a very special place in my heart. And, you know, growing up, just because I think my parents were so busy taking care of kids, we never really got out to the mountains at all. And we never grew up going hiking. And so it's just, sometimes it still feels surreal to me to be up there and to look down over my hometown and just be like, wow, if only my 10-year-old me could see me now up here, you know, and see me running around these mountains. And, so when was it? Like earlier in the summer, maybe like late spring, Keith had been talking about doing this loop. You know, he was, with all the races being canceled, he was trying to find new goals or runs to accomplish. And so I'd been hearing him talk about it a lot. And so he's been training and building up for it. And then we had an acquaintance of ours go out and run it. She actually posted the first female time to run it. And so, you know, I'd reached out to her and told her, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so incredible. So inspiring. I feel like maybe I might give this one a shot too. Like it looks really interesting. Not fully knowing if I would actually do it or not. Like I'm just kind of like, it would be fun to go out and run it. And that could be a cool thing to do, but I just didn't feel super confident that I would actually be able to conquer that distance just because, you know, self-doubt in the back of my head telling, you know, it's like, you haven't run that far in so long. So I wasn't sure if I could actually do it or not. And actually, you know, obviously we all want to feel good going out and doing something like that. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I really haven't been training for something like that. So I wasn't sure if it would actually happen or not.
And not knowing, did you guys scout out the course at all? Did you have time on any sections of it beforehand?
I've run sections of it in prior years. I've run sections of it in prior years, not knowing like years, a few, 2-3 years ago that loop was actually a thing. And I think it's only been more recent that it's become a thing. So, actually Keith was just telling me too that like there was a hiking magazine or something that was saying that it's like this premier loop in the Olympics.
So, yeah. I think that it's 7 days to hike. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually encountered this couple and then we connected on Instagram later because they wanted to see how I did. She reached out and she said they spent 6 days out there doing the loop.
Oh.
And she said they are just in awe that I did it in a matter of hours.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing.
I would want to go back out and do it for sure. I don't know if I would want to go slower. I know I could go faster. So maybe I'll go back and do it again next year or something. I don't know. We'll see.
So what was your time?
11 hours and 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And the time before that was 15 hours.
50 minutes.
50 minutes?
Yeah, 15:50.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I mean, I'll just say,
I know that she had different goals going out there. She just wanted to run it and just like set a time for women. And she was running in honor of her mom, which I think was really amazing too. And so, cool. Yeah. So I'll just say that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that is still amazing. And just to, I mean, honestly, just to go out as a woman and run it alone. 100%.
Yes.
I can't, I mean, that takes a lot of grit and a lot of, confidence, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
What was it like to be out there alone for 11 hours?
You know, so like going into it, I was telling Keith, I was like, oh my gosh, Steph was so brave for going. I'm like, I was so in my head and freaking out. And I was just like, she was so brave for going out there by herself. I have so much respect for her doing that. Like I had a lot of respect for her beforehand to go out and do that. But then like, as I was getting ready to go out and run it, I was like, oh my God, I have like so much more right now because this is so, this feels really scary. Like I was like crying a little bit. I was just like so nervous. I honestly, you know, I feel like my lowest point was before I even got out there to run. You know, actually being out there for 11 hours, it honestly didn't feel that bad. It felt like the day was going by really quickly and I was just trying to enjoy it, you know? I had so many supportive people that had posted or like commented on my post and I went through and read all of those comments and I had, one friend in particular that had told me, you know, if nothing else, it'll just be an epic day in the mountains. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go out and I'm going to have an epic day in the mountains. So like the first couple hours of the run, I was telling myself, you know what? Don't even pay attention to time. Like just enjoy yourself. Just be patient. Just see how you feel. And other comments that people that stayed with me was like, someone said, just run your own run and just enjoy it out there. And someone else had said, visualize the victory. And you know, the victory could have been anything I wanted it to be, you know, it could have been just simply finishing. And you know, as I was getting into later stages of the run, I was telling myself, just visualize the victory, Elisa, and just get through this. And, I never really felt alone. I knew people were tracking me. And I spoke out loud to myself a lot while I was out there. And I said, you know what, Lisa, you're not really alone. Like you have so many people following you right now. They're watching your progress as you're completing this loop. And I knew so many people were thinking of me and it really made a difference. Like it really, really did. And then also playing music at, as I think I was going up the first pass, which is a grand pass. I was like, okay, it's time to put on some music. And, oh, no, 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 that was Cameron Pass. Cameron Pass was the second pass. And I waited until that point to put on music. And I originally was going to take like earbuds, but I decided against it because I wanted to just fully be able to absorb all the sounds that were around me and be more present. And so I just had my phone in my pack and was just playing like some random Spotify playlist that I had downloaded. But it was like seriously a huge mental boost for me. Like random songs would come on and I would just feel like super pumped. And then like other songs would come on that evoked a memory and I would start crying. And I was just like, I wonder if it just, I don't know. I just was very emotional out there. I was just looking at a couple of texts that I had sent to Keith via the satellite phone that my friend Kirsten let me borrow. Thank you, Kirsten. I told Keith, I was like, at the top of Cameron Pass, feeling okay, lots of mood swings. I was just like, just all these things, like just starting, I started in the dark. I started at 5:17 a.m. and, you know, I didn't know how long the day would take me. And I thought I would much rather start in the dark than finish in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
I greatly dislike, that's definitely a weakness of mine, just running in the dark. And so, I really get in my head and I'm like, my mind goes, I get monkey mind. I just go crazy.
Like, so of maybe like, fears of things being in the woods or like what do you
mean? Yeah, just like, I just worry about like cougars or mountain lions or whatever. I don't know. It feels a little irrational at times because it's like so, the occurrences are so rare, but
still,
I don't know.
But it's very real.
I don't like being able to see what's out there.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, seeing the sunrise was a really emotional moment for me and just, it was really beautiful. I stopped and I just watched it and took pictures and just savored it. Cause I was like, wow, this is so cool.
I bet.
I'm out here. I'm doing this. I'm freaked out. This is crazy. This is going to be an adventure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you have done? You said you would do a couple things differently. What would you have done differently?
Oh, you know, I would have brought a few more gels. Overall, all of my nutrition decisions went well, you know, I had all spring energy gels, which grateful to be an ambassador for them. It's really cool opportunity. And, so those are always just such a solid nutrition decision for me. Like I was discussing with a friend recently that I think the reason why most people, including myself, don't have GI issues is just because of how much lower the sugar content is in them. Mm-hmm. And that's why it doesn't upset my stomach, because I recently had a different gel that I had previously really loved, but I tasted, I was just like, holy crap, this is like so sweet. And I like gagged on it because it was, I just couldn't believe how sweet it was. And so anyway, so I had all spring energy and those are just always so easy to get down. And then I had like some honey stinger chews. I had like a package of like goo chews or something. I wish I would have brought maybe one more pack of chews. I don't know. It's just sometimes it's hard. I found as the run progressed, I was trying to push myself a little bit harder. And when I'm pushing myself harder, especially longer distances, it was hot out there. I just have a hard time chewing things and swallowing things. It's just, I have to chase it with water. And that was another thing was I was drinking so much water. It was insane. I think I went through close to 4 bladders of water. It was really crazy. And because it was so hot out there, I was just trying to cool myself off a lot with all of the streams. And I feel like I feel like I do a pretty good job at keeping myself cool and hydrated. And just because I was keeping my body wet, I had no perception of how much I was sweating.
Yeah.
But it felt good to just keep drinking water. And actually I had started out the run because of Keith's experience the previous day. He had just like cramp, really bad cramping. And He's trying to figure out if it was just like a lack of electrolytes or not enough fluids he was intaking. And so I made the decision the night before to start out with, like several scoops of like Scratch Labs, like hydration mix. It was like the fruit punch flavor or something. And, yeah, I feel like that was a good decision to start with that just so I could kind of get ahead of like the electrolyte and, calorie game. So that was some advice another person gave me, which was just, you know, it's so, it seems like a no-brainer. Fuel early, fuel often. But just because I was just so in my head and like, you know, just all over the place morning of, it's just, that was such a good reminder. Like for someone, a friend to text me that morning and it's just like, okay. Sometimes I feel like I just need to write these things down or have them tattooed on my arm or something. But I never forget because I will forget morning up, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The nerves just kick in and you just totally space.
Yeah, you have to go back to the basics.
And exactly. That's so true.
Yeah.
Where did you fill your bladder? Through streams or did someone meet you?
Oh, yeah. I had streams. Yeah. No, okay. I didn't have anybody crewing me out there. It's super remote. Super, super remote. Like once you really get out there, it's just like the only way out is forwards. It's just like you just have to get through it. And, I had a water filter with me. So that was very useful. I was really glad I brought that.
How would that work with your bladder, the filter?
So, what we have is like this, Keith just recently got it. It's a similar look to the Katadyn B-Free water filter. Maybe some folks have seen that, but also Salomon just came out with one as well. It's basically this filter that's attached to the lid.
Okay.
And you can screw it onto basically any Hydropack branded soft flask or, I mean, Hydropack seems to make all of the flasks and bladders. So it's interchangeable. So I just took the flask with me with that tied onto the top of it. And then I pulled the little plastic mouthpiece off the top. So I was just able to squeeze the water right out into my bladder. So,
got it.
You know, I kind of gave the flask a little shake just in case that helped somehow because I don't know. The filter is like attached to the spout where the water comes out. So I don't know. So I just would fill that 3 or 4 times, fill my bladder quickly and then get going. So I love being self-sufficient, even in races. I really just like taking the time to stop at aid stations. I try to make sure I have everything that I need so that I'm not spending a lot of time standing around. And, that's just something that works for me. So yeah, I really try not to stop too much, but you know, you really can't avoid it when you're like trying to just refill on water. And then I was, you know, cycling through, like getting all of the wrappers from the front of my pouch and then bringing new nutrition that I had been storing in the back up to the front and just kind of moving things around a little bit. And, honestly, it was crazy. You know, the weight of the pack, it really wrecked my upper back, like shoulders, like they were so sore after the run. And I think my shoulders were also sore because I used trekking poles. I have like Black Diamond carbon fiber Z poles or something. And, definitely did not regret having those whatsoever. Good. That was, and even when I was running downhill, I just held them in my hand. I never once broke them down.
Okay.
I kept them open the whole time. And I feel like I've developed a good technique for being able to run with them as well. If the terrain is like just kind of rolling, it just helps propel me a little more. And so, it just takes practice. I can't say I've ever really been instructed. I've never received instruction on how to use them or something, but you know, it's just, I just do what feels good for me. And
yeah.
So they helped a lot. I was especially grateful for them on that last climb up into Deer Park. It honestly, the 3 passes didn't feel so bad, but that last climb, it's like 3.5 miles with a little over 4,000 feet of elevation gain or something, maybe more. It was just, I've done that climb a few times and, honestly, at the going leading up to that last climb, I was like, okay, Lisa, you need to make sure you're eating more. You don't want to be bonking on that climb. Like, mm-hmm. I just, the whole time I was just anticipating it. I was anticipating it before I even started running. I was just not looking forward to it because I've done it so many other times and it's just, it's a brutal, brutal climb.
And so did that, all the preparation, trying to prepare yourself for the climb, like, was that good? Did the climb go well?
You know, as I was about to start, I was just like anticipating it. And when I got to the bottom of it, I was like, 3/4, I will not be your bitch today. And then I'm like powering up it. And then I'm like just slogging along. I was definitely bonking a little bit and I was just trying to stay hydrated, trying to take a bite of like a chew or a bar. And I was really struggling. And that was probably the only low point in the whole run. Like that was my lowest point while I was running, was going up that climb. And I even got a bloody nose. I was like trying to push. I was like pushing myself a little bit and just really trying. I was just like aggressively power hiking.
Yeah.
With the poles going up it, and I kind of just blew my nose a little harder. I mean, I do that anyway. And then all of a sudden, like, blood is like dripping down. I'm like, what the hell? Like, I've probably only gotten like 3 or 4 bloody noses in my life. Like, I never get bloody noses. And so I was like, okay, I just need to slow down. I can't control this situation right now. Like, I just need to just chill out and just manage this. I think it was, like, an ultra running idol of mine, Devin Yanko, she would always say, work the problem. So that's something I always keep in my head, is just work the problem. You've just got to work whatever situation you're in, and everything else is kind of out of your control. You just got to keep moving. I was just trying to keep moving and not like really stopping, but like I was so tired. Like my legs were done. I was ready, really ready to be done.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, I'm kind of impressed that that was your low point. Your only low point. I mean, that was already, you had done so much and been on your feet. So I think that's great. And I like your perspective of dealing with what's in front of you right now.
Yeah.
And maybe not worrying about too much of like what's coming, but just this step, this problem.
Right. You know, honestly, another thing that was so great was just seeing the backpackers out there. Like that made a huge difference, was to see other people. And so that was really comforting to me. So that was another way that I really didn't feel alone. And, you know, there were stretches where I didn't see people for a long time. And then when I did see people, oftentimes I would just briefly stop and chat with them. So if I would do something differently, maybe it's just not really taking that much time to like talk to people.
But if it helped, I mean, maybe that was a good thing. Just a couple of minutes just to.
Totally.
Mentally.
Yeah.
It, like, feel part of a community. I don't know.
Well, then it's more like a race, because you have people with your race, you know, when you're racing.
Yeah. So it's funny. So the gal I had mentioned earlier that I had connected with on Instagram after the run and everything, and they were out there for 6 days. So when Luke and I were waiting for Keith, I really had no idea where they were, like what was going on. Like they were obviously like moving slower than I thought. They like definitely were past the time that I thought they'd be arriving. And so I was just kind of like, oh man, I have this feeling right now that they're just surviving.
Oh, no.
So Luke and I were waiting at the trailhead that's over by Three Forks, because we would have just cheered for them and then quickly driven over to where they officially finished. But while Luke and I were waiting, there was this couple that was just about to start out. And I asked them if they were going down Three Forks. And they said, yeah, we're going to be doing this big loop. I was like, oh, my husband's out running that right now. And they're just like, whoa. And I'm going out and running it tomorrow. And they're like, whoa, that's so cool. And said, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys tomorrow. I'll see you out there. And so that was another thing that I had been thinking about throughout the whole run, was like anticipating seeing this couple basically somewhere between like the bottom of Three Forks and somewhere along the Grey Wolf River Trail. So I ended up seeing them probably 3 or 4 miles before getting to the bottom of that last climb.
Oh.
And they were really excited to see me too. Like And I like almost started crying when I saw them. I was like, I've been waiting all day to see you guys. They're like total strangers. I have no idea. I had no idea who these people were, but it's just, you know, my brain just was latching onto whatever it could to just like get me to the end, you know, like finding whatever little positive things I could think of, you know? And so, it was so funny. It's just like, they were just really amazed and, I can't remember her name right now. I think her name was Robin. I could be totally wrong. But she just said that, you know, she like looked me up. I was like, I couldn't believe that she like looked me up to find out if I'd gotten the record or not. It was just like really sweet. That like really made my day. So yeah.
That's so yeah. cute. That's and what a good thing, like right before your big last climb.
Mm-hmm.
You had Definitely. A little break yeah. and positivity. Yeah.
For sure. For yeah. sure.
So then and what was it like? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask before you ask that stuff.
Yes.
I know what you're talking about. Yes. But when did you know in the day that you were going to get the record?
You know, that's a good question. I think it was when I got to the top of Grey Wolf Pass and there was like probably 15 miles left. As the day was progressing, I was just feeling really good. Like my legs just felt really, really good. And, you know, the longest run I had done leading up to this, which kind of like helped me make the decision to do this was like only a week and a half before doing the loop. Keith was doing his peak run, like long run, and it was a 28 miler. And I was like, I'm just going to go out and do it with you.
Oh my God.
And so I just went out and did it with him. It's just like, I posted a quote by, this guy, Kyle, that he had run the Grand Loop earlier in the year. And he had said something along the lines of, you know, the amazing thing about ultra running is that once you've done it, you know you can do it again. It's like you break through these barriers and you know what your body is capable of. So it didn't feel like such a big deal, I guess. I guess I was like, I'm just going to see how this 28 miler goes. And if I feel recovered from it, then this is typical of me. I love deciding last minute to do races or runs. And so I literally decided like, you know, 5-6 days after doing that 28 miler that I was going to do the Grand Loop. So yeah. Sorry, what was the beginning of the question that you had initially asked?
I think just when you kind of knew that you were.
Oh, knew when I was gonna. Yeah. So I guess just as the day progressed.
Yeah.
I was just amazed going into mile 30. I was just shocked at how good my legs felt. Like, I just felt so frickin' fresh. I was just like, this doesn't feel real to be feeling this good this far into the run. And, and just to be able to be competently, like, managing these descents and, like, you know, just powering up these climbs. Something that Keith and I have both noticed about my running is just like, I thrive off of runs and races that have insane climbs, big descents. It seems to be my style. Like I just love big climbs. I love gritty, challenging races and runs. So what was crazy is that I looked at my watch to just kind of check the elevation gain. And what shocked me was that I hit 10,000 feet of descent before I hit 10,000 feet of ascent.
Huh.
So there's like a lot of descending in this run. So, I was just trying to manage that efficiently. And I love technical descending and I love just being able to just rip down a descent. It's so much fun. I had actually, the only other time I messaged Keith while I was out there was when I got up to Grey Wolf Pass, which is the last pass. And I told him I was at like 7 hours, 45 minutes elapsed. I really didn't know like how long the next section to the finish would take me, but I was kind of like, and I really wasn't trying to think of the time that much. And like, but I was like, man, I think that's kind of where it hit me I was like, you know, Max told me I should try, he's like, you should try to go after our time. And I, only until then, I was like, maybe I actually have a shot at that. This is like, it feels like 7:45 is like pretty fast for being this far into the run. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like my brain was all sorts of other places during the run. And I just was trying not to think about it too much. And another thing I do is just, I was trying to pay attention to elapsed time just for the sake of like remembering, like seeing when I should eat. Mm-hmm. And, but I try not to look at the screen that shows me how many miles I've gone because that usually has a little bit of a mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I don't like to see how far I've gone and how far I have left to go. So I usually keep it on like the screen that shows me like elevation gain and so that feels more interesting to me. So I guess another mental positive going into this run was earlier in the year, I went out and did this solo 50K as part of a vert challenge. Mm-hmm. I didn't intend for it to be a 50K, but Spring Energy was doing this vert challenge and I was like, I really want to do that. So, you know, it was a virtual thing and, there's this small mountain nearby that's like an hour away from us and it's like a 1.7 mile climb with 2000 feet of elevation gain. So I did 9 laps and got 18,000 feet of ascending and descending and it ended up being like right about 50K. So I did that by myself and the weather was kind of lousy by the end of it. And I'm still kicking myself that I didn't just do one more lap to hit 20,000 feet. So going into this run, I also knew like, you know, I did that and that took me about 10 and a half hours to do that. And so yeah. I was just trying to like just process, okay, more vert, less miles. And I'm pretty sure I can manage more miles, less vert, you know? So, I knew what I was capable of going into it. And so just the fact that I was feeling good for pretty much the whole day. And then just kind of taking advantage of that and pushing a little bit more, you know, it's just, I don't know. Yeah. I really feel like the stars aligned. You know, I don't usually have a lot. I mean, the really good days feel rare, you know, it's just feels like there have been like a lot of just subpar days. And as cliche as it sounds, you know, it really does make the good days that much sweeter, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's amazing that you just felt so good. We all.
I know. I'm amazed too. I'm still shocked that it felt so good. You know, it's just, it still feels surreal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'd be curious to see other women go out and try to run faster too. I'm curious to see if I can, I think I really feel like I could go out and run faster. I don't know how, but I feel like I could. So
that's the whole thing about the SMTs is like, I mean, even just like the first time that's posted for a woman for unsupported.
Totally.
And then totally. Somebody builds off of that. And then the next person builds off of that. And it's just it's like contagious, people trying to just see what they can do. And
Yeah. So then how did it feel finishing it?
Oh, I was definitely glad to be done, but I was so hyped up as soon as I like finished and Keith was there and I was just so excited. It was funny. There's this lady that I had met also while I was watching Luke, the day prior, and she and I had chatted briefly with her partner, husband, while we were waiting for Keith at that same trailhead over by the Three Forks Trail. And so when Keith finished, she came like running up the road and was like taking pictures because she was just so in awe. And then when I finished, like I sat down, Keith had like a chair and everything for me. And then this same lady drives up, she's just like taking pictures and she was just like, I swear I'm not stalking you guys, but this is just so incredible. And like, it was just so funny. I just thought that was the most comical thing ever. But it's just really cool that she was so inspired by us and she like sent me the pictures later and yeah, it just felt really satisfying to be done. I was like, wow, I freaking did it. You know, I was just like, I can't believe I got through that. I was just like so freaked out the day before, and it, you know, Keith's rough experience was honestly like really, really challenging for me the night before. You know, the night before was just like, I was just like, how in the world am I going to go out and run this tomorrow? Like,
yeah,
I didn't want, I really was not wanting to do it. And Keith was like, you know, it's like, he felt, he's like, my experience was like a very individual, like probably pretty rare, like experience. Like, you should go out and crush it tomorrow. And so, you know,
it would probably, I was going to ask you about that just because, if that like planted kind of seeds of doubt, just
because
Keith ran with Max, and which is so cool, but I mean, that would maybe make me feel like, oh, like you can still suffer even if you're with a buddy, and then I'm gonna be just by myself. And I mean, okay, so you still, and so what about, how was it having Max around? Is that cool?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Max is really awesome. I wish we would have gotten to see his family while they were just visiting in the area, because he has family on the peninsula as well. So yeah, Max is a class act. Like, he is just such a cool, chill dude, such a badass. Like, he is. He's definitely one of the greatest mountain runners in the world. Like, he really is. And just to have him there running with Keith was super cool. And he's just, you know, to have him just even give me that little bit of encouragement of just like, you should try to go out and beat our time tomorrow.
I didn't
take him seriously. But for him to like see that in me or believe in me, I was just like, wow, that really meant a lot. Mm-hmm. So.
So cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
And did you have a different goal in your mind, like before he gave you that new goal?
Oh, you know, I had kind of had a couple of goals. I was just like, before Keith finished, I was saying, you know, I think it'd be really awesome to finish under 12 hours. Like, I think I could do that. And then after Keith finished, I was like, well, this seems like a really hard route. Maybe 13 hours is more realistic. Like, maybe I'm like being giving myself too hard of a goal or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then the other goal that I had in my mind was just like, I really want to go out and set a time that other women are going to have to work for. Honestly, you know, it's just like, I just want to set the bar high. And And I know other women will get it, but I just, that was something else I had told myself too. It's like, I want to be able to set a high bar for other women.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. So those are kind of my goals.
Okay. I'm wondering, like, what was it like the day before? I mean, you weren't technically crewing because but also it's so remote. But you were hanging with Luke that whole day. Yeah. And which
my Luke man,
yeah, I know you weren't crewing, but, that can still be like maybe kind of tiring. I don't know. How was that for like the day before your big?
Yeah. Great question. So we drove to the start of the run morning of, and, we had all of our camping gear, and we were going to spend that night initially. We were just going to drop Luke off with my family, and Keith and I were both going to do the run on the same day.
Oh.
Just so that we wouldn't have to worry about managing Luke while we were out there. But my family was doing like a little family trip, and so it ended up being, everything was fine. Like, so another lesson in just being adaptable, because, you know, in the week leading up to it, I had hyped myself like, Wednesday's the day. That's when we're going to go out and do this. And then I'm like, oh, I have to wait an extra day. I'm going to go out and do it on Thursday. Ugh. So I was definitely feeling a little bit bummed about that, but I was just like, you know what? Positive mindset is everything. Don't let that little thing, like something so insignificant, get you down. Like, try to just stay in like a higher positive mental state, you know? So, honestly, the road up to Deer Park is super windy, and you know, before we left the, or when we left the house, I had given Luke this huge bottle of milk. I forgot to tell him not to drink the whole thing. Don't worry. This story isn't going to go where you think it is, but it could have very quickly. And I was just like, as we're like, I'm like speeding up this road and I literally thought to myself, I wonder if Luke ever gets car sick. And then literally like within a minute later, he's like, my tummy hurts. And I'm like, no. So I'm like, okay, I need to slow way down. I was like, I was feeling all this pressure because I knew Max was at the top waiting for us and Keith was feeling, you know, antsy and nervous. And like,
yeah.
Now I've got this kid that might projectile vomit milk all over the car. And I was just like, this is nuts. Like, this is just like day in the life of being a parent athlete right here. You know, like this, I actually ended up pulling over and we were only like a few miles from the top, but I pulled over and had Luke sit in Keith's lap and we opened the windows and then, you know, happy ending. He felt fine. He didn't throw up. It was all good. So, you know, once we got Keith going with Max, I took Luke and we went to go find a campsite and so that was really fun. Like it was really cool just having the day with him and like setting up our tent and, cause Keith is always the one that does it. So this was my first time, like actually really solo putting up the tent and it's thankfully super simple. But you know, I was trying to include Luke in doing it. And then, you know, because it was still kind of early in the morning, people hadn't left the campground just yet. And so it felt like there were fewer spots to choose from. And so anyway, I set up our tent just so we could claim a spot. And then I took Luke up the road, just up the road from the campground is this little mountain summit called Blue Mountain. And there's like a tiny, like little nature trail loop where you can go to the summit and back down. And so that was really nice. Just kind of walking around with Luke and just taking in the sights and telling Luke, oh, daddy's out there running. And just, you know, he's in this stage right now where he will just repeat everything we mm-hmm. say. And so he just, it was just really sweet and, you know, taking pictures of him and, you know, we go up to the little mountain top and I was feeling really tired by this point. It was like, we'd been up since like 4:30 and it was like 10 a.m. and I was just super exhausted. And I really just wanted to go back to the tent and take a nap and I was trying to get Luke to come back down so we could go to the car and we were starting to come down and then he turns around and he says, I want to go to the top of the mountain. I'm like, ah, okay. How can I say no to my child saying he wants to go to the top of the mountain? So we went back up and so then we went back to our campsite and I noticed that there was this other site where people had left. So I was like, oh, I want that site. So I like picked up our tent and like carried it. Like just, it was a super short walk, but it just felt so ridiculous. Like picking up our huge tent because I didn't want to like break the whole thing down.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
I've done that before.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
Tent down a road to get a different campsite.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad I'm not the only one. So yeah, it felt good. Like just kind of relaxing and just taking it easy and just trying to calm my nerves down. You know, I was just like rolling out and stretching and end up taking a nap with Luke and it was just really calm. Just being up on this mountain, you know, just enjoying a beautiful day. Like it was really, really nice out. And, yeah, thankfully Luke was being pretty manageable. You know, it was a little tough getting him to take a nap. Like he was just not wanting to take a nap for a while. And I was like so many times, like almost fell asleep. And then he was like had to figure out how to like, thankfully, the top of the zipper for the door or the zipper for the tent door, I could put it at the very top. And then I tied the two zippers together or the little lanyard piece together so that in case I did fall asleep, he couldn't just leave the tent.
Yeah.
So trying not to stress out about that because I was just like tired and just wanted to rest. And so, you know, usually I feel like I'd want to do like a little shakeout run before like a race or something or run, but honestly, I think it was so good that I didn't do anything that day other than just walking around with Luke, which was plenty. Yeah. I was in the end, I was so glad that I had an extra day to rest, you know? so yeah, I mean, after, and then, you know, trying, after we woke up from our nap and then trying to figure out where Keith was and like, okay, let's wait here. Let's wait over here. Let's see where they're at. Just realizing like, oh, maybe they're not having such a great day. And then I was like so stressed out, like the last, you know, half hour of waiting for them. So I was just like, holy crap. Like they're coming so close up on that time and they're cutting it really close. They're just barely going to make it if they make it. So of course I was so happy that they did. And then just trying to take care of Keith afterwards, you know, he was like cramping really bad after he finished and he got really cold and I was just, you know, trying to like manage what I could control in that moment of just like, okay, I've got my big run tomorrow. Keith's not in the best headspace. I'm not in the best headspace right now. You know, I'm trying to make dinner for us and it's getting late and Keith was like freezing cold. So we like got him in the car and then, you know, we went to the ranger station to see if they had like some soda or something because he was just like really craving something sweet like that. And so, you know, it's getting later and, yeah, so it was just, it was definitely stressful the evening before. Just processing it, his day with him, you know, just asking Keith about what, you know, about his day. And, you know, that was just, yeah, it was a little tough. And I was like trying to get all of my stuff together. Like I had earlier in the day, just, I had put my pack, like all my stuff in my pack and organized it. And, yeah, so everything was pretty much ready to go morning of, but still it just, it felt stressful. And then waking up the next morning, you know, I got up probably 45 minutes before I started running and just barely, you know, just barely choked down like one packet of instant oatmeal and like, well, this is all I can do. At least it's something. And, you know, and then just having Keith drive me to the start and I got going pretty quickly. You know, it's dark and it's just like,
just go. Like, you just need to start.
I know. I really didn't want to start. I honestly really didn't. I was just like feeling so lousy. Because I was so stressed out and nervous. But you know, once I got going, the day got better, you know?
Yeah.
It's just getting to the, just getting there. It's like a huge challenge within itself, you know?
Oh yeah. The hardest part is putting your shoes on and going out the door.
Yeah. That was the day before.
I mean, that is just, you're amazing.
You are.
Just thank you.
Doing this and doing it so well and
so low,
all of these emotions, because I think as a mom, like that's the hardest part is always thinking about so many things.
Definitely.
And so good job for like conquering those demons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks. Yeah. It's tough. It really is tough. You know, I struggle with it, but you know, through this, yoga teacher training that I did, I've really learned to just tap into like my breath and just like find something to focus on. Like, it's just, it's helped me a lot. Just a little bit more meditation and just kind of trying to find this inner peace, you know?
Right. Yeah. The world around you is just chaotic and.
Yeah.
I mean, I just know what that's like waiting for your partner to finish a race. Mm-hmm. And you're watching the time and you're also with the kid or kids and you're like, oh my gosh, like it's just, that is so stressful than taking care of them when they're, I don't know, Chase sometimes gets, like after 100 milers, he'll be kind of in the fetal position a little bit. The cold, like they get so chilled.
And
then gosh, good job. That's so inspiring.
That is so awesome.
Thank you so much. I just feel so humbled and grateful for all the support from everyone. And, you know, like I said, I didn't expect this thing to turn into something bigger, into something that it did. So it's just, and I'm grateful that I can be an inspiration to other people too. And anyone can reach out and like ask questions. And like, I'm definitely more than willing to share experience and what I've gone through and all that.
And that's so nice. Awesome.
Well,
we want to be respectful of your time.
No worries.
We should wrap up. But it's just been so fun chatting and hearing this story of this epic day and your life in general, which is also epic.
Yes.
Thanks.
And so at the end, of each episode, we ask our guests, two questions.
Okay.
And so the first one is, what's your favorite race that you've ever done?
Oh my gosh. My favorite race. You know, I'd have to say Gorge Waterfalls 50K. That was probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so beautiful. And I really hope that that race can happen again. Really, really hope. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second question is, what is your favorite go-to healthy meal that you eat or make with your family?
Oh my gosh. I have so many, but I have to say something that I make that was like inspired by the restaurant that I worked at, Good Egg, is basically just like a bowl. I usually have like a grain. So in general, we just eat like a lot of like short grain brown rice. Like that's just a pretty standard and easy thing to make. And usually I like to do, sorry, I'm going to get a little into it because it's so freaking good. And I add a little turmeric to the rice, like while it's cooking and the water's like boiling. So it turns it like nice yellow. And like, aside from just looking nice, it's also just turmeric is such a great anti-inflammatory for your body. So the more turmeric I can incorporate into our diet, the better. So yeah, I have the rice and then I love roasting veggies. I don't care what time of year it is. One veggie that I learned to roast is, red cabbage. Like I had no idea that red cabbage tastes insanely good. Like I chop it up into nice bite-sized chunks and then I put a lot of like olive oil over it, like just toss it in olive oil. We go through so much olive oil, like it's just a staple in our home. And so I roast it in olive oil, a little bit of salt and pepper, get it so like roasting it at like 425, 450, so it gets nice and crispy. Then I also, we kind of tend to eat more plant-based, but we eat poultry and fish, not red meat very often. So for a protein, like it'll either be like, ground turkey, like just cooked pretty basically with like a few different seasonings. And then, another really great protein option that I love is just, is crispy chickpeas. So rinsing, like getting a can of chickpeas, rinsing, draining, and then spreading them out on a sheet tray with olive oil and spices and then getting them nice and crunchy and, and then whatever other vegetables I feel like doing, like roasted broccoli or sauteed onions or roasted mushrooms and basically whatever kind of roasted veggies that, I feel like cooking, whatever's in my fridge. Another one is like dicing up sweet potato. That one's been really good with like olive oil and then actually making it savory to complement the sweet, you know, and doing like salt and pepper and then garlic powder and actually spicy pepper flakes on that is like really, really good. And then some kind of sauce. Sometimes I try to find like, just kind of make my own like tahini dressing. I feel like tahini dressing is really hard to like get to taste really good, but oftentimes I just need to add a little bit of sweetener to it is what I found. So I kind of like to freestyle. I just freestyle things and I just, experiment and find flavors that I think complement each other. And so, yeah, either like a tahini dressing or like this green sauce that I learned to make at Good Egg as well. It's basically just like pureed salad greens with lemon juice, garlic, and olive oil. Yeah. Insanely good. It's basically like a pesto, I guess.
Yeah.
So that is like, that's like probably our biggest go-to meal or taco bowls, you know, it's just rice, ground turkey, black beans and salsa or, you know, just like fresh stuff. So
yeah.
It sounds so good.
Yes, it does.
I always just get so hungry at the end of Thank you. I'm excited.
I'm so inspired.
I'm excited
to see what you do next. Cause I feel like there is a lot of potential in your future.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, yeah. I'm excited too. I know that, you know, I have some big goals and big dreams and, you know, I have a really incredible supportive crew of people around me. And so I want to believe that I will get to those goals one way or another.
You will. You know? Oh yeah.
So
you're the way you can, kind of care for your mental space. I think.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's going a work in progress. It is a work in progress. Yeah,
it always is.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But we'll be following along and
thank you so much.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for being on.
All right, thank you.
That was such a fun, awesome conversation.
It was. I loved learning about how she got into running, and she just excelled very quickly at going into the ultra distance and doing awesome at it. Even postpartum, which you say 3.5 months postpartum.
I know.
It's amazing. I couldn't imagine. Yeah. Mm-mm. She is such a rock star.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I just loved hearing, like, the true ins and outs of the FKT experience and the emotions that went, like, were so yeah. And that takes a lot of overcoming, you know, for all of us, and especially just being moms. And so I'm just really inspired by what she did and just love her message of, like, okay, woman, like, let's get some more ladies out.
Yes.
Doing these cool things. I think it's just spreads inspiration. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Fun. I really enjoyed talking to her, and I love how even after she became a mom, she still has goals for herself that are above and beyond just doing ultra stuff like this FKT and, just pushing beyond what you think is possible and taking care of a 3.5-year-old. It's just, it's good to hear that, you know, just because you become a mom, it's not your only identity, obviously.
Right. Oh yeah, of course. And, protecting the longevity of, of the sport for yourself and, just knowing that, like, we can all kill it, like, keep killing years down the line. So
we haven't even peaked yet. So I keep telling myself, I'm just not peaked yet.
Yeah, right. Yep, exactly.
So,
yeah. Anyway, so if you guys out there enjoyed this conversation, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. You can rate and review. That really helps us out. You can also subscribe to Treeline Journal's newsletter found at treelinejournal.com. And we send out one email a week with articles and podcast episodes so that you don't miss anything.
And if you want to leave us a message or a comment, or future guests that you want us to have on or talk to, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at runhardmomhard@gmail.com, or you can send us a voice message using the anchor link in the show notes below.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope you're all doing good out there.
Yeah, we hope you are fully inspired after this podcast.
Yep.
So go run hard, mom hard. Oh no.
Oh,
just
shoot.
Got cut off.
Sorry about that.
We're like, oh, we're too.
Is there cheese on that bread?
Yeah, and turkey.
That's a great audio. Okay, I'm having carrots with peanut butter.
I love carrots with peanut butter.
Are you really? People think I'm insane.
Oh no. And then I love it. Steph should come out to Bend. And you guys should have, do like 5 podcasts in person with people, like 5 days in a row.
I was working on it. Today on the podcast, HFF.
Now you got me all messed up.
Oh gosh, no. Okay, no, take that out. Wait, in the Olympic National Park?
No, in Olympic.
In the Olympic. Oh god, no.
We already talked about in the outro, but
oh, please.
What would I do without you?
Taste like I'm terrible. Oh my gosh, why can't I just shut up?